Enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every single episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, R2-D2 is part of a team of Republic droids chosen for an important mission led by Colonel Gascon. In order to obtain encryption modules from a Separatist dreadnought, there will be... Welcome to my least favorite arc of Clone Wars, but I'm going to try and be positive about it. And I hope Chris enjoyed it. We're talking about secret weapons this week. How you doing, Chris?
Pretty good.
I must ask right away, did you like this episode?
Sort of, yeah.
Okay, good! That makes me feel a lot better. I was like, I'm going to be pouring hate, because like, that was the thing, like, especially about this arc, I was like, I think there's a lot of things in this arc that Chris would really like, but there's a lot of things that I really dislike about this arc. So, okay, I feel better now. I felt like, I was like, I'm just going to be pouring haterade on one end, Chris is going to get like the tastiest Kool-Aid of life, and like pour it in the other end, we're going to make a mixed drink of podcast.
I don't think so.
Oh, I'm so happy! Yay! Welcome to...
Oh, jeez.
I'm so excited. Guess what? We get three more episodes of this.
Right.
How you doing, Chris?
Pretty good.
You have a good week?
Yeah, so far, so good.
I'm a little bummed. I found out about 20 minutes ago when my coworker is leaving, and I was just like, oh. I still haven't fixed my chair.
I
forgot about it until I sat down and rocked, and then I was like, wait, my chair still squeaks.
I never get bummed about coworkers leaving. They're always going off to bigger and better things.
I know. We've been friends for a while, though. It's just going to be, like, a bummer not to see him, like, every day and stuff and at work. But I'm very happy for him. He has a really cool job now. So, but, yeah, I had a good week. I was telling Chris about my writing break, which was nice. So, we won't go past that.
We can't.
We should, too, should we? It's Star Wars related.
Well, I was just saying, well, it sort of ties in with Rebel spoilers, but not really.
Not really, no. No. Sure, long story short, I just needed a brain break from writing my novel because I was at just a very emotional part of my book with a lot of the characters, like one character suffering from PTSD and one character lost a leg, so he's struggling with that and stuff. So I just needed, like, a brain break from my book. And so I've dived full head-on into the Thrawn trash fangirl side of things, and I started writing a Thrawn fanfiction because I'm trash and looking at pictures, and I have too many Thrawn pictures now than I probably should. Probably not. I've followed a lot of new artists, though. I'm very excited. I love finding new artists. It's one of my favorite things. So, yeah, that was my trash week of me taking a brain break and started writing Thrawn fan fiction. The outline is 30 pages long.
Oh,
the
Jesus.
Outline. The outline is 30 pages long. Oh, yay. So, trash fanning. It's just something I'm going to work on, like, here and there when I just need a break from my brain. So, it's fun. I like it. So. You want to talk about droids?
I know you love droids.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually defending droids in this episode. Me. The person who has a phobia of AI and hates droids, except for K2SO, Chopper, and there's another one I like. Professor Hugh Young from Lost Ark.
What about R2?
He's the hero of Star Wars. You're supposed to like R2. He's fine. I like Chopper a little bit more, and K2SO is my favorite droid. And BB-8, I love BB-8. But I'm a new kid. New kids on the block, got a bunch of hits. Chinese grill, let me sing. What's that song? In the summer of the summer.
You talked into the wrong, you're barking up the wrong tree on that one.
It was like some like really preppy song when I was in high school. So, all right. Secret weapons?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. I'm about to read a lot because it's the first arc of the first episode of an arc. So here we go. Secret Weapons is the 98th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on December 1st, 2012. It was written by Brent Friedman and directed by Danny Keller.
So the 100th episode of Clone Wars is going to fall in an arc that you hate, huh?
Actually, it's the only episode I like because...
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, there's a character in that episode that I really, really, really like. And that character actually has a Rebels tie-in. So, I actually, that's the only episode that I really, really like of this arc. And it's the only episode I've watched more than once. Because I've actually watched it a few times because I really like that character a lot. So, some extra information for you. The opening logo for the episode, traditionally colored yellow, was rendered blue to salute R2-D2. The following three episodes, which are part of the same arc, also feature the blue logo, too. Colonel Gascon is voiced by Stephen Stanton, who is the voice of Tarkin in AP5 in Clone Wars and Rebels. WAC-47 was voiced by Ben Diskin. His other works include Kindergarten Cop, Sailor Moon, Hey Arnold, Naruto Regular Show, and a shit ton of anime, including one of my favorites, Tiger and Bunny. And yes, that sounds cute, but you should watch it. It's about superheroes. It's a really, really, really great show. Highly recommend Tiger and Bunny. Dr. Gbakker is voiced by our lovely clone voice actor, Dee Bradley Baker. Dr. Gbakker was part of the Republic Strategic Advisory Cell and worked with many other members of the cell constructing a massive mobile battle station for the Republic, which would later be known as the Death Star. At the end of the Clone Wars, the Republic was transformed into the Galactic Empire, which continued work on the battle station project. Gbakker was still involved with the project during the early years of the Empire's reign. QTKT was owned by Isla Sakura because she would have an adorable pink droid. M5BZ was owned by Master Terra Sanoob, a.k.a. Camel Joe, who we got to see briefly. WAC-47's master is a clone commander named Neo, and a trooper that we first saw on Seleucumai during Episode 3, Revenge of the Sist. And I think I just said Revenge of the Sist.
You did.
Like a cyst in my body. Like, Revenge of the Sists. U9C4's master is a Jedi named Throngla Gurr. Gascon's design originally came from a concept artwork from Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. I can't talk. How fucking day.
I'm just waiting for Revenge of the Sith to come out. That's going to be a great movie.
Oh, man. It's where the Millennium Falcon got swallowed by that, like, space worm. And they're, like, inside it, and they just shoot a cyst, and the cyst is just like, bah! And the worm's like, ah, my cyst! And they fly out.
That's what happens.
That's the movie.
I'm seeing Palpatine. That's definitely a guy who's got cysts.
I'll get back to this in a second. I saw a great picture, and it was Leia saying... It was Leia on the Death Star, and they're like, we need somebody to cause a distraction, making loud noises and running around wildly. And Han looks up and goes, my time has come. Screaming! Anyway, it was funny if you saw it. Episode 1, Phantom Menace. Gascon is based on a design of Jar Jar Binks. That's what I was trying to say. Jar Jar Binks' original concept design is what Gascon is based off of. Meeber Gascon's character appeared in several side stories in the video game Disney Infinity 3.0, Twilight of the Republic Clone Wars era story, and finally, QTKT is inspired by R2KT, a pink astromech droid created by Star Wars fans in tribute to Katie Johnson, the daughter of Albin Johnson, founder of the 501st Legion. The droid, who is now dedicated to the memory of the late Katie, makes appearances at children's hospitals. Though R2KT did previously make appearance in the Clone Wars movie, QT was a separate droid. This was to avoid having two droids named R2 on the same mission.
Yay!
Yoda, you're free! There's no more kids! You're free!
Just robots. Robots
have,
don't
like,
care.
You have like 4 weeks of like built up penchant, like built up stuff from like the kid arc.
Yoda feels free to be Yoda.
You know, just like let that Jedi robe fall and like feel the sun on your wet, wrinkly tummy. You know, maybe like lift a fat fold and pick a bug out of there and eat it.
Very healthy.
You just gotta
healthy
be
and natural.
Man. You'd be like Mama the Hutt, you know, with the little things crawling all over you, and you just pluck one off and throw it at people.
Keeps Yoda clean. Symbiosis. It's the Force.
I miss Mama the Hutt. She was great.
Yes.
Oh,
great
oh.
She was.
Was there stories with you and Mama? Were you one of the, like, skin suckers?
What happens on Tatooine stays on Tatooine.
Ah, but they were on the Hutt planet, not Tatooine, so now you have to tell me.
Mama Hutt gets around.
Yeah, with like a scooter or something.
Yoda used a lot of flour. Anyway.
I just spit on my computer screen. What's the latitude?
Humility is the only defense against humiliation. In bed.
Here's the thing. I've seen the rest of this arc, so this platitude is bullshit. What?
Some people like the humiliation.
Yeah, they do. And it's part of it, you know. You have the right to have the right partner, and it's about trust and communication and aftercare. Aftercare is very important. Very important.
Yoda likes the spoon.
Going back to our 100th episode, when Aaron said that he learned more sex ed from us than from school.
Oh, well, that's not good, man.
Guys, don't learn sex education from me and Chris.
Come
it's not a good
the
thing.
Wrong place.
Can they learn it from Eat It and Beat It, like safe sex?
No. Absolutely not.
Like the firmness of that no. That
There's
and, like the slight air of disgust in that no.
That's not what Eat It and Beat It's about. Go listen to Loveline or something like that, you know?
Or like that Dr. Ruth lady who used to be on like PBS.
I think she's still working.
There was actually an article in today's paper about her, because our paper has been doing Women's History Month, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and she was the article about like breaking taboos about sex. It was a really interesting article.
She's got to be really... I listened to her on... I used to hear her radio show back when I was in high school.
I was actually talking earlier, and I was like, how I was like 12, and I accidentally at late at night stumbled upon her show, and I was just like, this woman's just talking about sex. So like, it was like really a big deal for 12-year-old me. I was like, she's talking about it so casually, but it's an adult thing. Actually, it was probably quite formative for me during that time.
She's done that a lot. That's been her career, basically.
Yeah, it was so cool how, like, so, like, openly she was talking about it, like, to my 12-year-old brain.
Well,
growing up
when
in Baptist South Town.
She could get away with it because she basically looks like Yoda.
Yeah.
She does.
Like, you know,
she is basically Yoda with a German accent.
I grew up in, like, Baptist South Town, and, you know, people just don't talk about sex openly, and it was really cool just to see an adult, like, just very openly discussing sex. So it was a cool time for 12-year-old me. She's a very lovely lady. She does not look like Yoda. She looks like a grandma. A cute grandma. An adorable little grandmother who
really?
Is just
She's
like...
about 2 feet tall, too. I don't know.
Looking like Yoda.
I stand by my assessment.
Act 1.
Act one. I remember my favorite Dr. Ruth call from when I was a kid. There was a guy who called up, and he had a son. It was like out of a play or something. He's like, "Hi, my name's Ted, and I'm down in wherever he was." And she goes, "Oh, what do you do for a living?" And he goes, I'm a sheep farmer," which brings me to my question. And she goes, "Okay," and hangs up and goes, "Moving on to the next question." It was great. I remember I was laying in bed. I would like have the radio on, and she would come on, and I was like almost, it was like midnight or whatever. And I just remember laying in bed, but going like, "That was the funniest thing I've heard in a long time." Live radio is awesome.
The podcasts are better.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh yes.
Like this one, we might be biased, but we're the best. Actually, speaking of podcasts, I got my three panels for 221 BeatCon.
I saw that.
Yeah, one is the How to Podcast panel, and I'm going to be with some of my friends from the Baker Street Babes in a Geek Versus podcast. So I'm very excited about that. And I also got the Marvel Cinematic Universe panel, and I'm also going to be on the Steven Universe panel. So I'm super duper excited. But I've been on the How to Podcast panel, like, since it started. I think
Tape all of them, and you've got three hope of all trades right there.
You know, I always say that, and then I never do anything with them. So, though I might, since we're going to have
to edit them or anything. You just can flop them right up.
Actually, since I've been talked about J-Guys and Jedi, we're going to have, we're going to be short this year with our podcast. Because usually our podcast has been ending right about December for our streaming. But this is a short season, and next season's only a half season. So if it's okay with you, I could totally, record it and then just, put it in here. And we can just have it as a special show.
Sure.
Cool.
Yeah,
you guys can get to hear me with talking with some cool people. Because I know my friend Amy is on the panel, and she's part of the Baker Street Babes. And I know my friend Tony is on it, and I was on it last year with Tony, and he's a super cool guy. He's from Geek Versus Podcasts. And so I don't know who our other people is though. So I haven't been in contact with them yet. So cool. I'll do that. Cause I'll more than likely talk about J-Guys and Jedi and what we do. And so you guys can hear how to podcast. It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it now. Well, not that I wasn't. I'm always looking forward to 221 BeatCon, but super excited. Act one. So the Jedi found a secret Skype message from General Grievous, but there is a fancy new encryption code that keeps them from reading it. The Jedi are all scared that the Separatists will attack and blow some shit up. They come up with a plan to fight back with some chips, and not like the tasty kind of chips, but with some enemy decoding chips. The droids have been gathered, and they consist of R2-D2, QT-KT, Goldenrod, and Greyjoy. A.K.A. the yellow and the gray one, just because I didn't want to remember their names. So there's Goldenrod and Greyjoy. It's for Theon Greyjoy. It's fine. Who I don't really care to remember their names for. QT is just a really cute pink droid, so she gets to keep her name, because she's adorable. Wet Blanket Windu runs them through the plan that they will infiltrate a Separatist dreadnought and steal a decoding chip. The door opens, and Wok 47 comes in late, causing a scene. His poor clone owner actually slaps his forehead in embarrassment. It's really funny. It's a cute little moment. Wack is all gung-ho for the mission, and Windu drops a wet blanket on him, telling him that Wack will more than likely die, and Windu ain't gonna be mad about that. Windu introduces the droid to their leader for the mission, Colonel Gascon, who is a tiny frog butt of a dude. The Jedi leave Gascon with his new troops. Gascon marches around like he's the new big dick on campus and runs them through a quick plan, which Wack is totally lost on. The D-Squad has a symbol and they literally roll out. The droids are taken to Dr. Kabacker, who outfit them each for the mission. Except for Wack, who doesn't need any upgrades and must prepare the shuttle. And Wack is like, "I just want to feel important." The droid upgrades is like a weird version of Fellowship of the Rings, leaving Lothlorien, and they all get gifts for the next part of the story. R2 gets new rocket boosters to fly, QT gets a new magnet thingy, Goldenrod gets a laser cutter, and Greyjoy isn't getting a gift, but he's losing his memory banks. Colonel Gascon will use Greyjoy as a ride, aka his command center. With the droids ready to go, they all move out. What'd you think of Act 1?
I was up and down on it.
Yay! I'm so happy because like I was so on the fence about what you would think about these episodes. Because I knew you would either really like them or be like, eh.
Well, I mean, I pardon.
It's okay. I'm blowing my nose. We've gone from like super pollen weather to like cold weather, and it's killing my sinuses.
Honeywell family, our nose blows. My grandfather used to be able to blow his nose like a conch shell blowing. Hang on, let me get a note. See if I can get a good nose blow here.
This shows how interested in this episode we are. We're talking about nose blowing instead of about the episode.
Honeywells have good tone on their nose blows, I just gotta say. I was getting all excited because I saw, there's R2's droid army again. I love R2 with a droid army. And then I see Joe Camel, and I like Joe Camel. But turns out, it's not R2's army. And it's a little frog guy who looks like a Daniel Johnson. I don't know if you know about the musician Daniel Johnson, but it looks like one of his cartoons.
Huh.
This guy named Joe. And then we introduce Whack, who I instantly want to see him die. As soon as Windu's like, you might not make it through this, I'm like, oh, please, oh, please. He's terrible. He's just an obviously designed obnoxious character. He reminds me of the characters that you get on those shows like Saved by the Bell or something like that. He's just ridiculous. In a way that's worse than like say Jar Jar. You know what I mean?
Since we're talking about Whack, I had a note about this opening scene with him, too, because he really bugs me a lot. Because, like, what makes the battle droids so fucking funny is that they're just naturally stupid. Like, if they're just naturally stupid and funny. But, like, I feel like with Whack, they're trying way too hard to be comedic. Like, him going, I'm the leader, and runs into a wall. Like,
he's
that's just
falling and stuff, yeah. And it's just like, If that was a real droid, they would have been like turned down his personality like 150%, you know.
Yeah, and that's so much of my problem with him is that it's just I know they're writing him to try and be like, oh, he's this lovable character and he's a foil to Gascon, who's also not that great. Then you'll find out why later from me, but I mean like it's just trying too hard.
I totally agree. As I was going to say, I just reflexively go, I totally disagree. total agreement with you. The only part of this that like really had life for me, and it was still, I didn't quite like it, but it was a lively sequence, was when they got all their upgrades. But it was a mixture of like the Wizard of Oz with like, here's Scarecrow, you know, here's your, but at the same time, it's mixed with like weird Nazi guy who's kind of like, what's his name?
The Blue Waffle Virus guy?
Blue Waffle guy, yeah.
I made that note too!
And he's got like little Blue Waffle voice, but he really sounds like the, I'm trying to think of his name. He was in, he was a character in Raiders of the Lost Ark who got the, burned his hand. And I want to say it's, Tote or Tot or something like that.
I haven't seen Raiders of the Lost Ark since I was like 4. So there's very little bit I remember of it.
But he was a guy like in the beginning, he was going to torture Marion, and he's like, oh, so Miss Ravenwood. And this guy reminded me of a more energetic, so it was weird. He's like Q from James Bond. He's giving him their upgrades, but he's sort of sadistic about it. He's just like, oh, I'm going to so it's like, all right, so the Jedi and the Republic are just fine with this not using this Nazi. I guess
you know,
fits
it makes
into,
sense that he built the Death Star. Like he helped build the Death
right,
Star.
Right, right. He's like a Tarkin, you know. But like, you know, it's almost like when they transition into the Empire, maybe this guy was doing experiments on people and stuff, you know, maybe he graduated from droids.
You know,
but
like
it was kind of creepy around the edges.
That was my note for it too, because like when it came to like the blue waffle virus guy, like he like the battle droids, he's naturally funny because he very much owns the character. He is the mad scientist, and a lot of it is because he's a bad guy. So it like it really plays well because he is supposed to be kind of comical. I mean, he just sits there and goes yeah, like he's supposed to be that role, but it doesn't work in this because Gabacher works for a lot of his. I don't know if he's trustworthy because he's working with the good guys, but he's being played like a villain.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be helping the droids, but it makes me think that like one of them's gonna explode suddenly and kill everybody. Like it's just the blue waffle virus guy works so well.
Well, sadistic. When he's like, "Oh yes, we'll be taking out your memory," but he's like, he's saying it sadistically, you know?
Yeah. And I'm like sitting here going like, I can't see this guy working with like Obi-Wan Kenobi or Mace Windu. Anakin would probably get a kick out of him. He'd be like, yeah. Actually, no. Anakin would be like, why are you taking out his memory? You better preserve that. Those
yeah,
are
I was just going to say, Anakin probably wouldn't like his attitude with the droids.
But like, I cannot see this guy working with the good guys. And that was my like massive problem with him too, because it's just played so... It's played evil, but we know he's a good guy. Well, I guess it's sort of a good guy. I mean, he helped build the Death Star, but...
yeah, it's just... It's a little sketchy.
Yeah.
It was... just the whole tone of the whole first part was off, and I was just kind of like, oh, okay. All I kept thinking was, please put Colonel Gascon inside one of these droids like Men in Black. And they did, so that was cool. You know, his little chair with some levers and stuff. So that was okay. Otherwise, that's all I got for the first part. Kind of like,
I only had one other note, and it's a good note because it was really quick, but when the Jedi were leaving to leave the droids alone with Gascon, there's a tiny little moment when Anakin is leaving, he stops to, like, rub R2's head, like, to, like, wish his buddy well. Like, it was a really cute, like, little moment.
I would rub R2's head, too.
I would rub it, like, every day like Buddha.
Exactly.
Every day like Buddha.
Yeah.
And get that good luck. But it was a cute little moment. It was a nice, like, little added thing there, because that's the only good thing I pulled out of Echo. I'm trying so hard on this one to find good things. And I promised last week I would. So, well, Act 2.
Act 2. Into the meat of the story.
You don't sound very excited.
Sorry, I'm trying.
Yeah, this one had a just FYI had a, like a weird breakup. There wasn't really a breakup scene, so I think I broke it up like right before the fight. Just FYI, just so you know.
Oh, okay.
No, twice. So, Act 2. Wack is waiting on the ship, and Gascon rolls up inside Greyjoy. Wack wants to know why he didn't get an upgrade. Gascon rude shouts that he's just a pilot and he's not important. Wack has techno dreams of grandeur and flies the ship. They arrive at the dreadnought, and Gascon has a plan to infiltrate it. But Wack has already started his own plan, which is ramming their ship into the bad guys. And they get caught in a tractor beam. Their ship is pulled into the hangar, and battle droids rush into their ship. But they ignore the D-Squad and rush into the cockpit. With no life forms on board, the battle droids take them into custody. While being escorted, Gascon tells the D-Squad to remain calm. But of course, R2 must be the hero of Star Wars and shocks the crap out of a battle droid. Wack claims that he is the D-Squad leader, but QT takes out the other battle droid. But Wack throws in some punches for good measure. Time for them to go to the sea deck for the next stage of their plan. Goldenrod cuts the power supply, but their actions get noticed by this separatist leader, a super tactical droid named Otto. These are droid. The next part of the mission is distracting super battle droids, from which Whack is super duper pooper wants to do. And Gascon is like, fine, get blown up after we complete the mission. See if I care. Whack's dumb little plan to get the super battle droids to follow him actually works. And all he has to do was name drop General Grievous, and the super battle droids walked right into a closet. Whack rejoins the group, and Greyjoy goes to open the next door. But it's booby-trapped, and Greyjoy gets fried. The droids are stunned, and Gascon takes zero blame for losing Greyjoy. They lost their manual override and have to find a way into the control room. QT tells Gascon to do it himself. And Gascon's like, no, I'm an officer, and you're my underlings, and I'm not fit for this kind of crisis. And Whack's like, didn't you fight at the Battle of Geonosis? How are you not fit for this crisis, like opening a door panel? Gascon technically didn't fight at Geonosis. He's an analyst, pretty much a glorified map reader. And the droids all pull a beeping, oh snap! Gascon emphasizes that he was chosen for this, for his cunning military brain, and his tiny size, too, because he was the only one that could fit inside a droid. Gascon is going off like a blowhard about how great he is, and R2 is like, jeezy, crazy, freaking Christ, this is boring. And he opens the door. Whack asks if Gascon has been in a battle before, and Gascon says no, but they don't have time to debate. Time for the next part of their plan. What'd you think of Act 2?
Yeah, Gascon's got a little bit of little man syndrome.
Gascon's a little mean asshole.
But, I mean, basically I'm watching this and I'm like, are we like, I thought Clone Wars sort of like kept marching more towards its PG-13 rating rather than like, this show is like, the last arc was basically sort of like based on an idea they had for a kiddier show. After a arc about teenagers, it's just like they're getting more. Not that this one has young, not that droids are like young kids, but this one is definitely like more appealing to like young kids. It's very
especially. Two points about that, like, especially after season 4, where he had, like, shit happening like Umbara.
Yeah.
And slaves. But I do want to defend the Onderon arc, which is, like, that last episode with Steela dying is, like, a soul punch in the gut.
Right,
like,
right.
That was so well done.
But it's, like,
Totally agree. Like, I didn't think of it that way. Like this is kind of a backslide of, like, ratings. Yeah. Ratings, I mean, like PG ratings.
Yeah, it's like they're going for. I don't know if maybe they were like, you know, maybe they were looking at their ratings and seeing that the demographics of it and seeing like, oh, more little kids are watching. Let's try to, you know, they were obviously thinking that way with thinking about making a show of the little Jedi kids. So it's weird, but it seems to be going off into a more fluffy land and.
It kind of feels like season 3, but with arcs.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I mean, it's okay to watch this, and really, how long in this galaxy is it going to take people to start taking droids more seriously? It's like, if you're a droid, you can just wander anywhere you want.
I just imagine Anakin, like holding up a sign that says droids are people too.
Well, not as people, as a danger to whatever side you are. You know, I mean, basically, it doesn't seem to be going the other way. They just march their droids out there. But the good guys, it seems like if you're a good guy and you got a couple droids and you need to get into a, you know, high security base, your droids can just walk. People are just like, okay, whatever, the droids can walk in there, you know. You'd think they would have like security passes and things like everybody else, you know.
That's how General Grievous blew up Coruscant. He sent a bunch of droids into a power grid.
Oh, that's
and
true
blew
that's
up.
Right, they did do that. So it's like, yeah, basically, you know, they don't seem to have any controls on their droids. They let the droids just run around without any kind of, you know. I mean, if you're a company, like a repair company or whatever, you would think you would have your droids have a special code or, you know, identifying code or something, be like, oh, these aren't our, you know, or whatever, or at least security codes for high security bases. But, you know, I mean, they walk onto the ship that crashed into them and they're just like, ah, you know, the droids, they don't even really taking the droids into custody seriously.
Yeah.
So it's just weird. You'd think they would figure that out after the first couple times that people use droids to screw them over royally.
Yeah.
That's all I had. Wake up, guys. Droids are dangerous, man.
That's what I've been telling you guys. That, why do you think I have a phobia of AI?
I know you're aware, but I guess everybody else needs to just pull their heads out of the ground.
I know. Though I will say, this is welcome to Topsy Turvy Land, because this is the arc where I will defend the droids the entire time.
Right.
Welcome to Topsy Turvy Land, guys. So my first note, and I'll have more on this later too. It was about this time in the episode, about Act Two, the very first time I watched this episode about a couple years ago, that there was like something about Gaston that I just couldn't put my finger on, but there was something about him that really bothered me. And it reminded me of something, and I couldn't put my finger on it. And it was about here in the episode, this point, I was like, there's something about this character that I just do not like. And I will get to that in Act 3, because I need Act 3 to do it, to finish
that
note.
His voice is a little bit like what's his name from Umbara?
That's the rest of my note in Act 3.
Is it?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I can cut that out so we can have the element of surprise in the podcast.
No.
I didn't read your notes ahead of time. I honestly didn't know that.
Yeah, I'll finish it in Act 3, but the end of this note is, he reminds me of Krell. And yeah. I'll go into more detail later. Okay, so here we have a really good example of, like, funny battle droids versus whack. Because, like, when the battle droids come on the ship, they come on the ship like fucking spies, and they throw their backs against the wall, they have their guns up, and they open the cockpit. And it's just funny. It's funny. Like, they're, like, knocking on the door, and they're like, let us in! And it's just, that's how you naturally make your droids hilarious. It's so good. And, God, I fucking love the battle droids.
They're just naturally idiots. Yeah.
I know. And that's why they're great. Like, they don't need to be, like, made funny, like, whack after QT, like, shocks a droid, whack jumps on him and, like, punches him a few times, like, yeah, I did it, take that, because he's already down.
Yeah, whack's got a little bit of Urkel in him, you know what I mean?
I do know what he means, because it's kind of funny, because another character that voice actor voices is the geek character from Sailor Moon, and he's pretty much like the Sailor Moon version of Urkel, so that's a good comparison, but that's just the voice actor, not the actual droid, so... and here's another thing that really bothered me. I'm going to brush off my old playwriting lessons that I took like 8 years ago when I was still in college. One of the rules of writing, and this bothered me throughout the entire fucking episode. One rule of writing is the rule of three. And it's where things like plots and jokes and everything works best in threes. And in comedy, in particular, you build up a joke three times. And what that means is, you first land the smallest part of the joke, and then you repeat it again a second time, and it's a little bigger. And by the time you reach the third time, it should be at its funniest, because you have the other two jokes previously built upon it. And it's the rule of three. And that repeating is part of it. But for this entire episode, you have the joke where Whack is calling Gascon everything but Colonel. But not only does it go over the three-time mark, because they say it like five or six times, he doesn't call him Colonel, and it's just repeating itself and beating itself into the ground. It's just not funny. It's not funny. So you have this,
I thought of the funny place where it could have gone.
Where?
And they didn't go to it. Is at the end, for some reason, he gets demoted, and that he is a corporal or whatever. You know, he gets, so that Whack was calling him what he was, you know, Whack keeps calling him Corporal, but he's Colonel. I don't know. Actually, I don't know which one's higher. I think Colonel's. I think that was what they were doing. Yeah, he kept calling him Corporal, and like if he got, and at the end if he got demoted down to Corporal, it would have been funny because it would have been like, oh, Wack was right the whole time, really, and
or even
know
having
it.
Like,
or then
like,
when he gets demoted down to corporal, he finally calls him Colonel, you know.
Yeah,
something
or even
like
that.
Not that it's that's hilarious, but it's funnier than the nothing that the just repetition of the same thing that they did three or four times.
Or they can even play it like in a, like an emotional sweet side, like at the end when Wack and Gaston are talking, like Wack could tone it in a way of like, "Good job, Corporal," and like he looks at him, he's like, "Not bad yourself, Shorty." So now it's more like nicknames, like pal nicknames, than like
right.
I'm saying this wrong and I'm saying this to be mean to you. Then it's like more like friendly nicknames, like even if they did it that way. But like they totally just blow the fucking rule of three out of the water by saying the same joke like six times, and it's not even built well.
It doesn't
because
it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't change at all. It's just
even they could have even presented it differently. Like the very first time, like Wack calls him like corporal or captain or something, and Gascon corrects him. Then they could have presented it as Wack doesn't like this person, and then every time he says it after that, he says it with like a bit of sass with it.
He's
like,
doing it on purpose instead of
yeah,
just
messing
up. Yeah,
but it's not even presented that way. Writing rules. They're there for a reason, says the non-paid person for her writing to the people who are paid for writing. Writing rules. They're there for a reason. Take your dumb Star Wars money and see if I care. I'll make
and
it
if
one
the writers
day.
Are listening, they're like, geez, I wrote that 15 years ago. Well, not 15 years ago, but, you know, like 10 years ago.
Wait, who wrote this episode? Who wrote this episode? Scrolling back up to the top. Hold on. Who? I blame you, Brent Friedman. Go back to... No, I'm sure he's a very nice person.
I'm sure
I've
he's developed...
I've
sure
actually...
Well, you know, even that, though, even that, I you know, from talking to George Kurstick, you know, they write the episode, but then it gets worked on a lot after that, too. So,
yeah. Though one thing that I actually really praise Brent Friedman is he's one of the people of why we know so much of what would have happened in season 7 and season 8. Because there was just like a few years ago, there was just one night he just started tweeting shit. He was like, this would have happened and this and we were planning this.
Vodka, now I'm on Twitter.
Yeah, he's one of the reasons that we know so much about season 7 and season 8 because he was just like, and this would happen and this character did this and they went there and then this would happen. Then we had this battle and we were planning this and then Cad Bane showed up with Boba. Like he was like, he did it. He went there. So thank you, Brent Friedman. I can't be mad at you for that. So, all right. Ugh. Act 3.
Let's finish this off.
This is actually my favorite act. This is my favorite act because it has the most action. So, but even then, that's like barely a step up.
For what it's
so,
worth, yeah.
Yeah. Act 3. Super leader droid Acto, whatever his name is told of another disturbance on C-Deck and will look into it personally. Back with our heroes, they enter a room filled with swarm mines floating in the air. QT uses her floating magnet thing from Dr. Crazy and gathers all the mines inside her. They enter the room with the encryption module. Right as R2 is ready to fly up there and get it, evil battle droid guy whose name I can't say enters with his droids. R2 turns off the gravity in the room.
Just think of him as a car. Or think of it as O-T-T-O.
I actually keep almost saying Octo, like the place where Luke was living, but I know that's not right. It's Otto.
Yeah, just say Otto.
Oh, Otto! It is Otto!
Yeah, there we go. Oh. Fixed.
Oh,
it looks
yay.
So, the way it's written out, it looks so, it makes it look so awkward, but it's Otto.
But,
he's a
it
car.
Is Otto. How did I not realize
or
that? Thank
O-T-T-O.
You.
O-T-T-O. Otto Parts.
You take such good care of me, Chris. Thank you. You help me in my time of need, not being able to pronounce shit.
Rural.
I hate you. I can't say that word. I hate you. Actually, it took me a long time to learn how to say corporal. Or colonel. Colonel is another one that... At a very young age, I couldn't say, but I can say
just
it now.
Say Earl with an R in front of it.
Colonel. Anyway, R2 turns off the gravity, and everyone's like, "We, we." The droids get to use all their new presents. Goldenrod's lasers fire away. Q2 shoots the mines at the droids. But Otto grabs R2. So much better, thank you. Otto grabs R2 before he can snatch the module. Gascon and Whack double team Otto, and R2 grabs the module encryption thing. Whack turns the gravity back on, and everyone crashes to the floor, except for R2, who is hanging on in the air by suction cups. Otto picks up Gascon, putting the squeeze on him. R2 pops off the suction cups and falls on Otto, breaking him and freeing Frogbutt. The intruder alarm goes up, and the D-Squad has to flee, but at least they have their encryption module. As they're leaving, R2 refuses to leave Greyjoy behind. Gascon knows that they're right, and they can fix Greyjoy in the shuttle. Luckily, no one told the battle droids that the intruders were astromechs, so they just run right past the D-Squad. And the D-Squad gets back to their ship and flies away with no problems.
Doopy-dooby-doo, because they're just a bunch of robots, and no, they didn't disable that ship or anything because it flew into them and it might be suspicious and there's intruders loose on the ship or anything like that. Yeah, easy.
What the fuck ever. Anyway, Gascon's patting his own dick over his success, talking about how great he is and stuff. He gives half a compliment to the droids, too. At least Whack can finally calls Gascon by Colonel at the end.
Yep.
End of that. Here we go. Can I say my first note? I had to pet my cat 4 times. Like, stop the episode, pause it, and pet my cat 4 times to get through this episode. I was just like, any mental help. Pet cat. Pet, pet. What do you think of X3?
I only had one note, and it's so stupid. It's that the translation module, it sort of reminded me of the Transformers symbol. especially when it was in its, like, you know, little, like, light casing and it was glowing. Like, oh, they have to capture the Transformers. That's about it. I mean, the zero gravity fight was kind of cool because everybody got to use their, you know, it's that was where the Chekhov's lightsaber came in, or, you know, Chekhov's magnets, QT's magnets. But, it was, you know, I mean, it was just sort of a by-the-rote resolution of what they, you know, set out on their mission. You know, I mean, this episode is, it's very much like the last arc, where it was just like, introduce your characters and put them on a little mini-adventure. But this mini-adventure is a little too, it's a little too kiddie and childlike for me. I mean, this one had,
At least with the kid arc, like, when they were on Ilum, there was a sense of danger because they could freeze.
And they were kids and stuff. This takes it and, like, takes it into the world of exaggeration, where when the gravity goes off, it's like, okay, they get to play with the physics of the gravity. Okay, you shoot your laser, it makes you fly. It shoots a laser, but you also get thrown across the room and stuff. But then you have, you know, you have Whack, like, doing
a doggy paddle
like a character out of a Warner Brothers cartoon, and it's just the only, you know, the only thing they didn't do with that is have him flip over and do a backstroke too, you know, like sort of put his hands behind his head and like kick his feet like a backstroke. But I wouldn't have been surprised at all if they did in this episode, because It was pure, just like out of place, exaggerated comedy. You know, it wasn't even, you know, I mean, he is a character that's comedic, but then it took it onto the next level of cartoonishness. You know,
yeah.
And I, you know me, I can get in the mood for that sort of thing.
That's why I wasn't sure whether or not you would like this episode or not.
Yeah, I could totally get behind a totally wacky thing. But I don't know. I'm sort of, maybe it's because I know this is really the last season, that, like, it's like, why are you, it's like they're regressing a little bit in the arcs, you know. They started out with it was a little kiddier because it was about the Pubos, but it was a classic Clone Wars arc where it had, like, you know, death and character development.
We started off with, like, Maul and Savage.
Right. That's true. And then and now we're getting to, you know, Whack doing the doggy paddle at the end of the episode. So it was, I want to see more I want to see some more heavy stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So
at least it's coming. I will give you that. Like, not in this arc, but this season, the heavy stuff is coming.
And this isn't wacky. What I think it is, this isn't wacky and weird enough for me. You know, it isn't, like, out of left field. It's pretty kind of standard sitcom kiddie show wackiness. It's
very Three Stooges.
Yeah, I could deal with that. I could totally deal
but
with
it's
Three
like,
Stooges.
It's like tame Three Stooges. Like, they're not willing to go all the way there.
The battle droids to Three Stooges all the time.
It could have been something like Goldenrod, like when he shoots his laser and flying backwards, like him throwing in like a wah.
It's like, but you know, I when stuff goes off, they might as well go off the rails. It's like when Katie Lucas was writing stuff and you know, the Night
or
Sisters
like
type stuff.
Or like the Zilla Beast episode. It was fucking Godzilla rampaging through Coruscant.
Go full out weird. And this one just doesn't. This one's almost dumbed down a little bit to kiddie level. And meh. That's all my notes.
Well, for me, I'll start with the good. Because what saves this for me is this episode for me is all the battle droids in the final fight. And the third act is my favorite part because the battle is fun. And I like seeing the droids, the D-Squad, getting to use their strengths against the other droids. And I actually do like a little bit of seeing Gascon fighting because, like, they had that big moment beforehand where he was like, well, I've never actually fought before. And, like, seeing him actually fight was a good moment for him.
Yeah, and then you see, you know he's not actually full of shit because when he doesn't really balk if he doesn't, like, cower away and then fight. He's just like, oh, okay, I got to fight now. And it might have been the first time he's had to fight, but he really did a good job for himself and was not... He was not fearing for his own life, you know. He was flinging himself right into danger, so that was cool.
See, I can say nice things about this episode.
Sure.
That's about it. Because then, like, when we get back to, like, when the droids are leaving, like, it's R2 that stops Gascon because they want to bring Greyjoy home. And that's, like, R2 is the one that makes them go, like, no, we need to bring this guy home. He's part of our team. And Gascon's like, okay, cool. And it's probably actually a bit of a smart thing, because if Greyjoy is anything like R2, he probably has Republic plans inside him.
Yeah,
he probably should. They
and
probably
I think
R2
really, like, it was would probably have been usually, would have probably been in charge if they hadn't wanted to send Gascon out also. So
yeah.
He's probably more used to dealing with being in charge. So, and since there was a language barrier, R2 sort of was in charge, and the other droids liked him. This is where you get with the weird AI stuff, so it shouldn't make sense. But they didn't like Gascon, and they liked R2, so Gascon's power was really just by a thread, his authorita.
You know, like, I would have actually wondered how well this would have gone. Because, like, we had Wack there, and he was the vocal one. Like, he's the one that's telling us what's going on.
Right.
But having R2 lead the battle and not even have Gascon as a character, I think that would have been cool, because then we could have seen, like R2 in a way just, like, you know, Wack would try to, like, do his thing, and, like, R2 would take his, like, little hand and, like, stop him. And then Wack being like, no, you're right.
Yeah.
And that would have been really cool, and, like, be an almost entirely silent episode.
Well,
that would have been really groundbreaking for Clone Wars to do an entire episode without dialogue.
Gascon could have been an amazing character if he was different. I don't know what they would have had to do to it, but Gascon, you know, having a tiny little general sort of guy, it would have been even greater if he was a tiny little Jedi. You know, that would have been amazing if he had some force powers and a tiny little lightsaber. Or a regular-sized lightsaber with just a little guy using it. But either way, you know, they could have made him into a really great character. And as he was just sort of like a blowhard, you know. And and it could have been, it just could have been really, every second with him could have been really funny and really cool. Or like just seriously kick-ass. And I think they blew it, you know, by just making him just sort of this shallow one-note character.
Do you remember the very first episode of Clone Wars where Yoda is fighting and he's just tiny and, like, rolling under tanks and
yeah,
and, like, that he could have been like that.
Yeah.
That was really cool. That's a good way to start off the entire freaking series.
Or just using his size to just slink around a whole ship. And if he was a Jedi, he could have jumped down onto somebody's back and flipped them and stuff like that, you know? That would have been really neat to see. And you know, if he was a Jedi, he could have been all but invisible by moving fast. They would have thought they had, like, a case of space rats or something like that.
Yeah, but
yep, so much opportunity missed with him.
Okay, so here's my big note, and this goes back to what Chris kind of was touching on earlier. So, like, it was about the end of the episode that I realized what I really disliked about Gascon. And I figured it out. Because after watching this episode where he says that whack wasn't important, Greyjoy's actions getting fried was by him following orders that got himself, quote-unquote, killed. You know, Gascon didn't blame himself. He was like, well, Greyjoy did it to himself. He should have been smarter than that. And he pretty much spends the entire episodes calling the droids useless and putting them down. And I realized at the end of this episode, the first time I watched it, that if the droids were clones, Gascon talked to them the exact same way that Krell talked to the clones in the Umbara arc. And in many ways, he's just like Krell, because even we saw in the Umbara arc, like, Krell would sit back like Gascon was sitting back and, like, let his underlings do things and get hurt and injured and killed and then blame them for it.
He's sort of like a cutified Krell, though. He's a little, not as, you know, just basely obnoxious as Krell.
Yeah, but at least, like, it worked, like, just like the Doctor and everything else with Whack and stuff like that compared to the battle droids, it works with Krell because he's a villain, and we find out he's a villain. And that's why it works so well for that character, because, like, then you can look back on the other episodes and go, oh, he was doing it for a reason. Cool, cool. But Gascon's just an asshole. He's a good guy. So he has really no real reason to be a jerk to these guys. He's just a jerk. And it really sullies that character for me the rest of the arc, because he's pretty much treating the droids the same way that Krell treated the clones.
Well, he's, like, got the chip on his shoulder because he's a little man. You know, he's got the Napoleon complex.
And Krell had four arms, was a massive fucker, and he was still an asshole.
He can't even get a droid to address him in the proper manner, whereas, you know, if he was Wet Blanket Windu, that would not have flown, you know?
Yeah.
But he's froggy stock eye, so he gets picked on, or at least that's his attitude. I don't know. It's so stupid.
Yeah, and so, like, that's what really just made me dislike Gascon for the rest of this arc, because after that, like, after every episode that I watch, I just heard Krell's voice.
Just make him awesome. You know, how about that?
What, instead of making him a tiny dick, just make him a cool dick. Like, a cool dick with a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Like, even if he was mean, give him a reason for being mean. Like, even just something like in the first act where he was like,
make him mean and give him a put scars all over him and an eye patch on him, and there you go.
Yeah. But Or, like, giving him a reason to dislike droids, being like, oh, last time I worked for a droid, I lost my eye, or something. Just because, like, then it would actually make sense of, like, why he's being so mean, not, like, he's covering up his own inability.
Well, he could be kick-ass, and then he could start to get mean because he gets mad because Whack is doing, like, and what kind of droid is it that you would have that would do something like, oh, I'm just going to fly our spaceship into the other spaceship. I decided to, you know, not really, you know, anticipate your order or whatever, you know, you know, what kind of droid is that? Why would you make droids that don't do what you say or, you know, improvise in stupid ways without?
Well, I have to argue back. R2 does that. Like, he often, but he also often anticipates actions and stuff.
Right.
Like,
the thing about R2 is he doesn't screw up very often.
Yeah. I mean, oh, man. Do you remember during the Citadel arc?
I would have turned Whack off after when he's like, we're flying into the ship. I would have been like, no, I'm powering you down. You're dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, you've just gotten us all. You've just ruined the whole plan and possibly stopped. And, you know, and we need that information. And now that you've just endangered, I would have turned him off and taken him back for, you know, to get worked on. What kind, actually, you know, what kind of robot is that?
Actually, I was just thinking, do you remember Master Peel in the Citadel arc? He was the tiny pig guy who talked like a Russian.
Yes.
And had a missing eye. That's what Gascon should have been
like. Yes. He was kind of a dick, but he was not, like, taking it out on anybody. He was just a hardened... He was kind of like a pig Nick Fury.
Yeah, because, like, he was like, a tough guy, but he was, like, you know, polite to Ahsoka and respectful and, right. like, polite to the clones and, like, you know, mourn them dying. But, like, and that's what Gascon could have been. And it's just... I can't with this tiny frog Krell. I can't. Ugh. We have 3 more fucking episodes of this, Chris. I'm gonna warn you. The next episode is boring as hell.
Awesome.
It's
can't wait.
It's so boring. It's pretty. It's a pretty episode. But there's a lot of flat orange.
All right. Well, hopefully... Well, listeners, don't let that discourage you, because we'll try not to...
We'll try not to
be boring.
We'll tangent. You guys know us. We'll tangent. But honestly, there are 3 people who speak in the next episode. Gascon, Whack, and the narrator. Those are the only 3 people who speak next week.
That's not necessarily a bad thing. Well, we'll see.
Well, when Whack is one of the 2 people who speak the entire time, I don't want to hear more of him.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
You ready to score this up?
Yeah, I think I scored it high, too.
You know, I kind of thought the same thing. I haven't scrolled down to see your score yet. I thought I kind of scored mine high.
As I talked about it, I'm realizing I should have scored it lower, but I know what's coming.
Oh, funny. Okay. So I gave it a 6 out of 10.
You!
And I was thinking that was kind of high, but, you know, I mean, I wasn't watching this episode going like, ugh. I was just like, it was amusing to me, but it was just like, I just want something more out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It could almost fly as a just a normal, decent, entertaining episode. It was fairly entertaining, but no, I don't like, it was too childish and too fluffy and kind of worked as a one and done, which I also lean towards, but yeah. 6 is good, just below average.
Yeah, because I mean, like, for most of the kids' arc, I gave them, except for like one episode, I gave them like my average score of 7. Mm-hmm. This is below that.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
And I kept my promise from last week, is I went into this episode with an open mind, because I was like, I'm going to try and find good things in this episode.
I remember.
And I did try. And as I was watching it, like, I just kept flashing back to the first time I saw it two, three years ago. And I just remembered everything I hated about this arc. And it's just such a mediocre episode. I mean, the comedy falls flat. Gascon is Krell, but he's not even a good Krell. Right. I mean, Whack is so annoying. But at least for me, like, the battle droids save a lot of this episode for me. And I really like the last fight. I think it's well done and it's fun, but it's also way too short. Because there's just a lot of times where they're, like, looking at maps and schematics and, like, a lot of it is, there's a lot of hand-holding in this episode. Like, Windu gives us the plan at the beginning. We don't need to pull up the map 5 more times to tell us what the next part of the plan is. Just fucking do it. Just do it. Because these droids, like, that we don't need our hand held as audience members. And I wish this arc was a one-off, and I wish this was done. And there's still 3 more episodes of this, and oh my god. I gave it a 6 out of 10, too, but I feel like it should have been closer to a 5. But I know I feel about next week's episode.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't want to put it in 5 world yet.
I know how I feel about next week's episode, so... So I know how we're going, so... Oh, as always, we would love to hear your feedback, especially on episodes like this, where if you guys love this episode, we want to hear about it. Like, if you, like, you know, Patrick Delmore, like, we hate the Mortis arc, but we love that Patrick Delmore would give us reasons of why he loved it. And, you know, Patrick ended up being right, because Mortis came into play in Rebel Season 4, so shut up, Patrick.
That makes him right.
Yeah. But, like, if you love this episode, we want to hear why. So please leave us feedback on iTunes, Twitter, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page, especially on iTunes, because when you leave a review on iTunes, it helps people find the show. And this week, our feedback comes from the Two True Freaks Facebook page for our episode, The Soft War. Take it away, Chris.
Soft War. Okay, the first one comes from Dario Gonzalez. My good friend, Dario Gonzalez.
That's how you should greet him on the next episode of Eat and Beat. I'd be like, hello, Dario Gonzalez.
He's a gonzo lesbian. All right. He says, nothing like relaxing and listening to the latest upload, which I translate into nothing like popping on J-Guys and Jedi and letting Hope and Chris's voice put me to sleep. I know. I know what you people do.
We soothe Dario to sleep every night?
It's very possible.
Aw. That's cool.
I have a feeling there's a lot of people who put podcasts on and get about 5 minutes into them and then wake up with their alarm going off.
I do that sometimes. I do that. Sometimes I'll just put on the newest episode and listen to it as I'm playing Game Boy before bed. I do that. Or listen to about 10, 15 minutes and then go to bed.
I've known people who've done it during podcasts. So, all right, the next one comes from Paul C. Kelly. And he says, I have to remember next time I am on your show to what makes you think there's going to be a next time, buddy. I have to remember next time you'll be on our show again, dude.
Oh,
I have
totally.
To remember next time I am on your show to mention another one of my favorite things about J-Guys is the episode theme music that is added before the start of each episode. That's me.
You know what? Oh, I'm accidentally clicking things. My bad. I actually, and I've said this before, Chris, I wish I got to pick that song every once in a while because I was listening to the episode of Revival and you used Bad Moon Rising. And I have a cover of that song that I wish was used instead. So every once in a while, I want to pick the opening theme.
whenever you have an idea for opening theme, please shoot it my way. I'll gladly use your ideas too. Because
the thing is, we record
so
before
to
our head.
I have to rack my brain for those because now that it used to be, I just used random music or something, and every once in a while, I would do something. But now I feel like, to myself, I want to have it somehow connect to the episode on every show that I edit when I put that on there. So sometimes I'm racking my brains for it, or I found things that I've made work, but they don't really work that well, but I have to go with it. And, you know, and I know that you could, you know, you know a whole lot of, you know, you have a whole different palette that you could draw on that you would be like, oh, I know a song that would go perfect for that I've never heard before in my life. So
yeah, because I have a cover of Bad Moon Rising that you used for the opening of the Mall Sauvage episode, but it's like a darker metal take on the song. And I was like, oh, this would have been so metal.
Yeah.
it's like borderline Marilyn Manson, but not quite. It's a different band. Oh, man, I heard that, and I was like, oh, I wish I said this to Chris. But I don't remember what we record.
Right. But, yeah, it always seems to go well with the storyline or one of the characters of the episode, like the season 3 episode about 99. That was 99 Luftballons.
I forgot about that.
kind of on the nose with that one.
I cried a little bit when that played. I was like, Chris, why would you do that? Oh, my face. I totally, like, I was driving to work and I was like, Chris, you bastard.
All right. He says, you both talked about Spaceballs in this episode and, well, Yoda too, and how they might come out with Spaceballs too. God, I hope so. Chris, the Yoda character and that you were trying to think of is Yogurt. Yes, that I remember that. I could not think of his name to save my life. He was big into merchandising and even sold a Spaceballs flamethrower. Yes, the kids love this one. So Will Wheaton kills babies, does he? Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does, Paul C. Kelly. He murders babies. Never forget.
I'm sorry, Will Wheaton.
Oh, listen to Hope, the baby killer, and she's sorry for him. Okay, Hope.
I'm actually taking a break from, I'm almost done with A Certain Point of View, but I just bought the Thrawn book, and I'm reading that now, so, because From A Certain Point of View is short stories, I can pick it up at any time, but...
Thrawn's killed a few babies in his time, hasn't he, Hope?
Oh, I'm 15 pages in, and he's killed 7 people already.
Right, so now you're, okay, we see where Hope's,
Hope's at. Like, one has murdered half a platoon by himself.
She loves Will Wheaton's baby killing, and she's writing a story about a baby killer, a different baby killer right now.
He's a baby killer, he doesn't like casualties, he was just trying to sneak onto a ship.
Why do you hate babies?
I don't understand. I love babies, don't even.
You have
I
so
love
many
babies.
Nieces and nephews and stuff.
I have to keep myself from being a creeper at work when people bring in babies, because I'm like, oh,
all right, well, maybe you
adorable.
Like maybe you like babies, but you seem to have no problem with baby killing either. That's just quite a dichotomy. I don't understand it. Anyway, on with the letter.
Shut up, Chris.
All right, so Will Wheaton kills babies, does he? I'll have to spread that news around. Yes, please, spread that far and wide, and when they ask you where you heard it, tell them it was Hope Mullinex.
And Chris
Honeywell. Guys and Chris Honeywell. I'll wear it on my
Mostly
shirt.
Chris Honeywell, making up propaganda.
I'll march
and
up and down the street with a sign.
Your sign will say, Hope Mullinex likes to kill baby.
It'll say, shut up, baby killer Wesley. Okay. That's a Star Trek joke. You wouldn't get it, Hope.
I know he plays Wesley.
It says, Sheldon would be happy to use that as ammo against him in the Big Bang Theory. Ooh, yay. I don't like the Big Bang Theory either.
I love the Big Bang Theory. No. Oh my god! Howard and Bernadette just had their second baby!
Maybe Will Wheaton will kill it in the next episode.
Will Wheaton is pretty much playing on the show the equivalent of Bill Nye the Science Guy. It's actually
really? Well, they better keep him away from their baby. So, what is more intense, the Andorian death penalty?
I think you meant Onderon.
Onderon death penalty or the death penalty in Braveheart? I would definitely rather have the Andoronian death penalty than the Braveheart death penalty. Thank you.
Never seen Braveheart.
Yeah, he does not. The death penalty is not pretty in Braveheart.
Does it take a few times?
No, but it takes you in a few directions.
Okay. Never seen Braveheart, so I wouldn't know.
Freedom! It says, I thought that planet was Alderaan, by the way, until you two mentioned it was a different name.
Why Me so- too. I actually made that mistake the very first time I ever saw that arc. I was like, Alderaan? What? That looks like trash. Where's Bail Organa? Bail Organa was.
He says, why so similar? Because it's a trashy galaxy, Paul C. Kelly. That's why.
It's just like my trash fandoms.
It's just like it's just someone trashy. Says, you know, it's just like you have someone here in our galaxy named Vivian, and you don't know if it's spelled V-I-A-N or V-Y-A-N, you know. It could
it's
be
like,
V-Y,
like
V-Y,
how,
you know, it could be two Ys or two Is or...
It's know. Like how when we found out Agent Callis's name is Alexander, but it's spelled A-L-E-X-S-A-N-D-R.
Alexander...
Why wouldn't it
be similarly as confusing in other galaxies, I guess, especially a long time ago.
Like, if you want to see how trashy we can get, like, I can show you some of the Thrawn pictures I found today.
Oh, dear God. Okay. Moving there, on.
There's a butt plug.
Oh. Space butt plug, Hope. Space butt plug. Let's see what happens now that the Separatists know that the Jedi... You like how I'm just slothing right over this? Know that the Jedi are involved, though. Wouldn't Palpatine already know already? What do you think, Hope?
Can you reread that again?
I don't even know what I read. Let's see what happens now that the Separatists know that Jedi are involved, although wouldn't Palpatine already know anyway?
Didn't we bring that up multiple times? Like, they're walking around with lightsabers. How do they not know?
Right, exactly. Can't blow his cover, though. Maybe not important enough for his chess game.
His chess game? His chess, like, huh? Candy! Thanks, guys, for the feedback. Well,
Dario just wrote me and asked me how we were doing with our candy, and I told him we had, like, a month and a half's worth of candy. And then he showed me a picture of two bags. He's like, I might have to put these in the freezer until So we got more candy on the way, so don't you worry, Hope. We're not going to run out.
Thing that says 99 on it, since we were talking about 99. The 99 roll is from Taiwan and is said to contain 99 different greens with a chocolate center.
It looks like it has, like, pictures of... It has all these different nuts on it and, like, looks like it has a lot of pictures of sesame seeds.
You wanna do this
one? I just picked up I haven't eaten sesame sticks in so long, I forgot how good they were.
Do you want to do this one? The 99?
The 99? Let's do it. I got it in my hand.
99 Loof Candy is going to get in my mouth.
Yeah, we just mentioned 99, so we might as well dedicate this one to the memory of good old 99. Where does this one come from?
Taiwan!
Oh, made in
Taiwan.
So
if you're wondering why we're eating candy, Chris sucks and hates American Kit Kats and baby killers.
I don't know why, I don't know why either of those make me suck, but whatever, Hope. That just shows where you're at.
Shut up. Well, he hates babies because he's, like, all supporting of Will Wheaton. So our friend Dario, who we were... Dario Gonzalez. Sends us candy
his
from
favorite,
all over
his
the
favorite
world.
Golfer is Chichi Rodriguez.
So he sends us candy from all over the world to review. So this actually doesn't look as grainy as I thought it was. I was expecting, like, flax seeds on it or something.
No, you know what it looks like? Oh, what the hell are the name of those... They're little biscuits for kids.
This is really dry.
They're like baby biscuits.
This is weird. It tastes like a kid. When my nieces and nephews were little, they would have those puff cereals that they have, like peach puffs and strawberry puffs, and I would eat them.
Oh my God.
I promise my nieces and nephew got them first.
This is like the driest thing ever.
I know, and this is exactly what it tastes like. It's not very sweet, but it's not bad. It's just, and I just wish there was more chocolate and liquid in it.
It's dry.
I do kind of like it.
It's like eating cereal it's like eating dry cereal.
Because
the center of it tastes like a Cocoa Puff.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like you bite through a flavorless Cocoa Puff, and then the chocolate mixes in, and you go, oh, okay, it's a Cocoa Puff. The chocolate finally makes it, gives it flavor.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I'm trying to figure out this texture. I can't put my finger on what the texture tastes like, because I keep thinking styrofoam, but it doesn't have that kind of texture.
Styrofoam mixed with a honeycomb cereal.
But it's not in a bad way, though. It's like, because it almost, like, it's almost so dry that, like, when the moisture of your mouth hits you, it, like, almost melts in your mouth, almost.
Where are all the grains? Are they just, is that what that...
I know, I was expecting, like, by the packaging, I was expecting, like, flax seeds on top or something.
They must be all made into flour. It's sort of like the world... How about this? The world's densest flavorless Cheeto.
Yes! Yes! It's the texture of a Cheeto, like a Cheeto Puff.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you bite into a Cheeto Puff and it gets moist and it kind of dissolves in your mouth.
But it's like 3 or 4 times as dense as a Cheeto. It's somewhere almost as dense as like the middle of a malted milk ball.
Yes! Cheeto! That's exactly. But like without the cheese, it's just like a flavorless Cheeto with chocolate in the middle.
A chocolate-centered Cheeto.
With no chi.
Here's the thing: I would buy these and eat these all the time. This is really interesting to me. I like it.
I know.
Texturally and flavorally.
It's not bad. I really do like it too.
It's not super sweet, which is good for me. I like that. That last chocolate bar that was insanely delicious. It took me three different snackings to get through that one.
Mm-hmm. That massive, huge chocolate bar we got took me like a week to eat.
That one took a while. Yeah.
Good. That's actually like I know we're talking about like styrofoam and dryness, but that was actually really good, Dario. Well, that's all I have for this episode. You know, despite the episode, I had fun talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how a lot of it is with the episodes that are, what should we say, a little lacking.
See our episode for Grievous Intrigue. If this is your first time listening to our podcast and you haven't gone back into our back episodes... I would say probably the last episode that we really thought was super boring and dull was the episode Grievous Intrigue. And Chris went on a 30-minute tangent that you just need to hear. I'm not going to give you anything else, but that is still like one of my favorite episodes of Jedi and Jedi that we've ever recorded. And
I didn't find this one boring, at least, I guess.
Next episode is very boring to me. I can't. Ah, I am not a fan of next week. Well, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com. That's our website where we have tons of podcasts. We just added Charlie's Geekcast. But anyway, you can also find Two True Freaks on Facebook. We've got a Facebook page. We've got two Facebook pages, actually. We've got the Two True Freaks Facebook page, where basically all our podcasters will post up their episodes. And we have the Two True Freaks Cantina, which is more of like a forum for talking about movies and nerd stuff. We have a Twitter page, Two True Freaks at Twitter, run by Gene, the podcasting machine.
Burp, 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 burp. Gene. We love you, Gene.
I wish I could do it like today. Scott Gardner, I don't know if he can do it anymore, but when we were in high school, he was one of those burp talkers that could like swallow the air and just burp on command and like
I wish I could do that.
He could do the alphabet and stuff like that. He was very, very talented. I don't know if he I'll have to ask him next time.
I wish I could do that.
I wish I could have burped out Gene's name, but I'm not that adept, sorry.
Oh, you should do it one time in what's it called? Yoda's voice.
Gene. Gene.
Right now, Gene's just like, no, stop it.
She's pouring like, bleach into his ears.
I never want Yoda to talk to me like that ever.
His wife comes into the room. He's laying on the floor and smoke coming out of both of his ears. I had to make it stop. Where can they find you, Hope?
You can find me at JGuys and Jedi. I run our Twitter account. I also... God damn this episode. You can also find me at Hope Molinex. Actually, now that Timeless is back, I was live tweeting Timeless the other day. If you guys remember several episodes ago, like last year, I was really into Timeless because one of the main characters is Matt Lantern, and he's the voice actor for Anakin in Clone Wars. So I was just really excited that I was back, so I was live tweeting that the other night. So you'll get that Sunday nights from me. I'm also the news writer for whatthefangirl.com, and I can't remember if I talked about this last week, so I'm just going to talk about it again. I recently wrote an article about how The Lonely Island, who wrote songs like Dick in a Box and I'm on a Boat, was commissioned to write a song for the Oscars about big budget movies like Star Wars and Wonder Woman and It and stuff like that never get nominated for Academy Awards, and it was hilarious, and I wrote an article about it. But I haven't really written anything in the past week because I've been working on Thrawn fanfiction.
Shape of Water won Best Picture, right?
Yes.
There's a genre film right there. That's.
Oh, I want to see it so bad.
I have it sitting on my computer right now, and I've not had time. I have that, and I'm planning on watching that, and I still have not seen Get Out yet. And I have both of those, and those are going to be my Oscar watches. And I just haven't had time to do them. I'm going to be editing more after this show. I'd watch them tonight.
Yeah, I haven't gotten around to it either. Like, I just haven't been able to. And I haven't... Well, I guess I could have been able to, but I was too busy writing Thrawn fanfiction the last week, so it's fine. I can't say anything.
It's not
cool.
Thrawn slash fiction, is it?
See it?
Hope?
No, not slash, though. It's not, so it's fine. Cad Bane's gonna be in it, but not like that.
Of course he is.
I found out Thrawn has a brother in the EU, and about nearly killed myself. I was just like, he's beautiful. His name is Thrass. He has a brother in the
Jesus.
EU, and I was like, where is he? Why is he? There's two of them. His name is Thrass.
He's
I'm so
the
excited.
Good misunderstood brother.
Well, he's an aristocrat, and he's kind of pompous, but the first picture I found of him was him with a sword, and he kind of looks like a pirate, and so, like, that's, like, my first image of him, but it's not true.
I think he should be named Thrank.
No, he's named
Thrank. Thrank.
But I've been, like, full-blown, like reading about the Chiss and their society and doing way too much of not working on my own book.
I need to actually get part of the creative process.
It is, and there's two NaNoWriMos coming up, because April is NaNoWriMo, and then July, again, is NaNoWriMo, so I'm going to be doing both of those to get me back on schedule, so. Yeah. All right, so, come back next week where we talk about...
More of the same, but boring.
But, yeah, pretty much.
In bed.
Chris. They land in a desert and literally walk for 22 minutes. It's like Two Towers. Ooh. But without the cool first half with, like, Legolas, Gimli, and Aragorn, it's just the boring second half with, like, Frodo and Sam walking for 300 pages, only just for 22 minutes.
Except it's droids, so they're just rolling, too, so they don't even, like, swing their
and
arms.
And all they have to talk to is Gaskard and Wack. That's all they have to talk to for, like, 22 minutes in a desert. And it's not even a cool desert like Tatooine. This world is called The Void. It's something in the void.
So it's just begging for mockery. All right, well, we'll be back next week to talk an hour and a half about a boring 22 minutes of Star Wars.
Yep, we'll see you next time, and beware of Will Wheaton the Baby Killer. Goodbye.
Yeah, he's lurking behind everything, basically. Literally.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at TwoTrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at TwoTrueFreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
We were finally invited aboard one of these spacecraft, which landed near Ann Arbor, Michigan on October the 24th of 1954. This is a drawing of the craft. As I was leaving the craft, the commander, Soltek, said, "Soon others of your people will be able to have an experience similar to this."